shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
We start out with Isaiah 59:2, with the realization that our sins have separated us from God. Not necessarily God from us, but us from God, because when Adam sinned in the garden, God still was looking for him. So God didn't withdraw from Adam. God was actually looking for Adam, even though he had sinned. It was Adam who withdrew from God. He was hiding. So our sins have separated us from God. And then the beautiful, beautiful gift of atonement was brought into play. And atonement is the act of God. It's an act of God to restore harmony and unity between himself and human beings. Atonement. From the earliest times, the blood was the essential element of the atonement. And it was considered the essence of life itself. Genesis 4:10, when Cain killed Abel, God said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." So his blood cried out. Genesis 9 and verse 4, "You shall not eat flesh with its life, because the life is its blood." And then, of course, the most important verse we have on that is Leviticus 17:11. "For the life of the physical body is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." So the life of the physical body is in its blood, and so I have given it to you upon the altar so you can make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So the blood is the element, the essential element of the atonement. The atonement is the unity and harmony restored between men and God. In the Old Testament, the blood sacrifice propitiated, or God's judgment against them, propitiated it. It means it turned it away. God's wrath, his judgment against sin, was turned away because of the blood. The Old Testament, the blood sacrifice was that which turned away God's judgment and wrath against his people and gained his acceptance. Those sacrifices in the tabernacle and then later in the temple gained God's acceptance and propitiated his judgment against the people because of the blood. The means of dealing with sin by blood was but a foreshadow, of course, of the once-and-for-all sacrifice of Christ. The Old Testament blood, all the blood of those animals that were sacrificed, is all but a foreshadow, a picture of a future event where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would give himself upon a cross and he would shed his blood for the people, for the sins of the people. Hebrews 8:5 tells us this specifically. Hebrews 8:5, those things in the Old Testament serve to copy and be a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For God said to him, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Because this verse says that because the Old Testament things, the tabernacle, the blood sacrifices, and all that was a picture of reality, spiritual reality, then everything had to be precisely done, precisely crafted, every nail counted, every measurement, everything had to be exactly done the way God told Moses to do it. So God gave Moses a whole list of specifications on how to build and what to build and what would be the length and the breadth and so forth of every piece of equipment in the tabernacle. Everything had to be exact because it all had spiritual meanings attached to it. So you couldn't just throw together a table. The table had to be exactly the way God said the table should be, to its exact dimensions, because it all had a meaning, a spiritual meaning behind it. So God's wrath was appeased or propitiated. The theological word is propitiated, but for us we can use appeased. God's wrath was appeased as he looked upon the shadow blood in the Old Testament, which represented the literal blood of Jesus Christ, who would one day be offered to him. So God's wrath against sin was appeased because he looked upon the Old Testament blood sacrifices, and when he saw the blood, he was reminded of the literal blood that Jesus Christ would one day offer him in heaven as a sacrifice, as an atonement for the sins of people. And so God would look at that blood and he would accept it on the basis of that. Now, of course, we know God sees the end from the beginning. We're told in Isaiah 46:10. God sees the end from the beginning. You and I see the beginning, and then later on down the road, we'll see the end. But God sees the beginning from the end from the beginning. And so he knows all things. He can see, even though he's looking from the perspective of eternity, he can already see that day that Jesus will give himself. Even though in the case of the Old Testament, it may not happen for 2,000 more years, God can see it in reality, the actual day, because he lives in eternity and sees the end from the beginning. So in God's mind and in God's heart, he can see the actual day even long before that day ever occurs in time. We see things in time. He sees it from the perspective of eternity, and he sees time as like from this corner to this corner, the beginning and the end. He sees the whole thing at once. He looks at it from the side and sees the whole thing at once. He doesn't look up or down. He sees it from that perspective. And so that's why in Revelation 13:8, it says this, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now, the people that are worshiping the beast, the Antichrist. So those are the people that are worshiping on the earth, and the people who are worshiping the Antichrist are those people who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not saved. They're unbelievers. But it says the Book of Life of the Lamb, and this is the important part this morning, slain from the foundation of the world. So from God's divine perspective, he sees Jesus as having given his life since the foundation of the world, since before Genesis. He sees the atonement of Jesus Christ. And so when he looks on the shadow blood, he sees the literal blood in eternity. Since the first sin, shed blood was used to provide a covering for sin. So since the first sin, God went out and he took an animal and he killed the animal and took the skins of the animal and provided a covering for Adam. But the covering was provided through shed blood. The shedding of that animal's blood was the thing that provided the covering. And so that was how God dealt with the first sin that ever happened upon the earth. Then in the Old Testament system, of course, although it was a shadow system of things yet to come, it fell short because even though people brought animals to the temple or to the tabernacle to be given for an atonement for their sin, It never really quite dealt with the internal problem that man had, which was his guilt and the self-consciousness that sin brought into his life. You know what guilt is? Guilt is the bad feeling that you have in your conscience when you know you're wrong. But then the self-consciousness, sin made people very self-conscious. They began to look at themselves and evaluate themselves and judge themselves to see how they're doing. Am I doing good today? Am I doing bad today? Did I have a good week? Did I have a bad week? Did what I just said, was that good or was that bad? Very, very analytical about myself. Self-consciousness is part of what sin brought into play. So, in Hebrews chapter 10, it goes into that. In the first verse, for the law, being under the law, having a shadow of good things yet to come. Under the Old Testament, it was but a shadow of the good things to come, which would be brought in through Jesus Christ. Not the very image of those things. Those shadow things can never, with those sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Because if they were perfect, then they would not have, wouldn't they have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once perfected, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. But they did, and so they kept bringing more animals. They would bring an animal, then they would go home, and within a week, they're still feeling guilty about themselves. They couldn't wait for the next time they could bring an animal to be slain on their behalf. So, there is a reminder of sin all the time because they're always bringing sacrifices. Because there's always the consciousness of sin. So a man would perform the ritual of bringing his sacrifice to the temple, offering it to the priest, confessing his sins over the animal. But he never felt cleansed when he walked away. He went through the ritual, did what he was obligated to do, but he never really felt cleansed. He never really felt worthy. He never really felt brand new when he left. And so the sin continued to linger inside of him and produce guilt and a continuance of self-consciousness, self-evaluation. Like Adam in the book of Genesis, we are incapacitated to draw near to God when we're conscious of sin. Adam was conscious of the fact that he disobeyed God, and he was incapacitated, unable to draw near to God. Instead, he withdrew from God and hid from God. This is what sin makes people do, withdraw from God. That's why it's hard to get them to church, because they feel guilty about their lives. Got this tickle in the throat, I don't know. It's going to make a short message. So anyways, Adam was incapacitated, and that's why people often say, yeah, I'm going to come to church soon as I clean up my act.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Precious Metals Reclaiming Service, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is looking to buy gold, silver, and diamond.